2 Thessalonians, please, chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And now I'm turning to the last book of the Bible to read some verses in chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse number 9. And I'm speaking for a little while this evening on the subject, can a person be saved after the rapture? Can a person be saved after the rapture? And Revelation 7 says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now we turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we'd like to look at these verses, and I'd like to point out a few truths in these moments together. Can a person be saved after the rapture? Well, if you have read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you know that these books are very prophetic. In fact, at least once in all of these chapters here, the 8 chapters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians together, there's either mention of the rapture or the second advent, Armageddon. So there's a lot of prophecy in these books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The verses that I read tonight, these 12 verses, opening verses of chapter 2, are so full of information that we could study here for many weeks, but I just want to give us a summary from these verses, and that's what we find in these verses. Actually, there's like a preview here of the future. There's mention in these verses that I read of the apostasy, the Antichrist, the temple, the man of sin, Armageddon. It's all mentioned in just these 12 verses that I just read. The opening verses again, Paul says to these believers not to be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. it appears that someone had written a letter and sent it to these believers and had signed it Paul, though it was not a letter from Paul. It was an imposter. It was a letter sent to confuse these believers on the subject of Bible prophecy. I think it's interesting that even from Paul's day, the devil tried to subvert the doctrine of prophecy. And he has certainly done that so well, as it were, through the centuries, that there is tremendous and gross ignorance of the subject on the part of Bible believers, or I shouldn't say Bible believers, Christians in general. So it's unfortunate then that a lot of Christians do not understand the subject. Paul says to these believers, don't be deceived. Maybe they thought they were already in the Great Tribulation. They were, after all, being persecuted. I'm not sure what they thought, but Paul says to them, by inspiration, of course, remember what I told you. Remember that there are a number of major events that must precede the second advent, that is Armageddon. Don't be deceived. He refers here to the day of Christ, which usually is called the day of the Lord, but it's the entire period of end time prophecy. Notice he mentions the falling away. Verse number 3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. So that day, that is the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, Armageddon, the end of the tribulation, shall not come until the falling away, as well as the revelation of the man of sin, politically and religiously, and his destruction. So what's the falling away? Well, the falling away is the apostasy, the Greek word apostasia. And it's mentioned here and other places as well. And it means a departure. In fact, the same Greek word is the root for divorcement. It means leaving. Falling away means a divorcement from truth. It means leaving the truth. It means the words used in Acts 21 where it talks about same word where Paul is accused of forsaking God's word, forsaking Moses. So when the Bible says there's going to be a falling away, it means the day is coming where they're going to claim to be Christians, but they're not going to believe like Christians. They're going to claim to be Christians, but they're not going to act like Christians. They're going to divorce themselves from the Bible. They're going to depart from orthodoxy. They're going to believe and preach anything and everything under the umbrella of Christianity. The falling away. It's happening now as never before. We're living in a day, and this has just happened in the last 5 years. You're called a heretic now by Christians. For standing up for the right of the Jews to exist as a nation. Yes. That never happened before. Yes. And you're called a heretic for believing the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it's getting as the apostasy deepens, as the falling away escalates. It's always happened, but it's happening more now than ever and will culminate in the tribulation period. So, falling away. It's shocking to realize that most people who claim to be Christians are not Christians. They've never been saved. And that would number in the millions. More than being Christians, they're heretics. They're apostates. Denying every fundamental doctrine of the Bible. For example, Carey, the Archbishop of Canterbury, denied the basic truth of all the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the day we're living in. Liberals and modernists and infidels, and as Billy Kelly would say, infahales. That's what they're in for, because they don't believe in salvation. Error is rampant. And the leaven has permeated completely. And many people will live their entire lives and never meet one Christian. One true Bible-believing Christian. Oh, it's a rare thing to know
a real Christian.
Well, the Bible foretold us of this falling away. Would you turn over just a few pages to Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy 4. And let's see if he predicts a worldwide revival or just exactly what he says will happen in the last days. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. We're living in the day of the teacher. We're living in the day when preachers, when the word preach itself is despised. And where you'll hear on the radio, and now it's time for our teacher, Chuck, or our teacher, so-and-so. They always, I think it was Chuck Swindoll, they always introduced, it's time for our teacher, Chuck. That has a very dangerous sound to me. A very dangerous sound. But anyway, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, the Bible says, and shall be turned unto fables, myths, fairy tales, infant baptism, purgatory, and other such fairy tales. Well, it's going to get worse, the Bible says, because after the rapture, the world is going to follow the Roman Catholic Church for 3.5 years. Revelation 17, and basically they're doing that already. Just about all Protestant groups have bowed to the Pope or cooperate with them. And then the last half, of course, of that period, the entire world will worship the Antichrist or be killed. Let's look at the next verse here, verse number 4. Concerning this man of sin, the son of perdition, the Bible says of him in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. So the Bible tells us then that this man will first appear as a religious, rather a political leader, Revelation 6, eventually he will claim to be God and demand universal worship. Revelation 13. He will claim to be deity. He will say he's God and will sit in the temple of God, which means they must rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. If you were to go to Jerusalem tomorrow, there's not a temple there. There's not been one there for over 19 centuries, but there will be one there. We studied that last Sunday, Daniel 9:27. But of course, this man of sin, this member of the unholy Trinity, Satan incarnate, will desecrate that Jewish temple. No, the world's not quite worshiping the devil tonight, but it's coming. Global worship of Satan. The reason it's not happening tonight is, number one, you're here, and I'm here, and there's millions of Christians here all over this world trying to preach the gospel, trying to be salt and light in this world. But the main reason that the world is not worshiping Satan through this man of sin is that he who now letteth, he who now hinders, is hindering the opening of these floodgates. Of course, that's the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Did you hear these verses? Look at it again, please. Paul said, I told you these things, verse 5, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and let, when the Bible is translated in 16:11, meant hinder, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So, this man of sin has not yet been revealed. At the rapture, the believers will be taken away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be a mighty dark and decaying world when the Christians are all gone and the floodgates are opened and God the Holy Spirit is delaying or hindering the manifestation of the man of sin. Don't think it unusual that the word let has changed its meaning. Today, let means permit, but in 1611, it meant just the opposite. It meant hinder. And God the Holy Spirit is hindering the devil from taking over this world. Any language that's alive changes. In fact, I like to notice that in my parents and in my grandparents. I remember my grandmother used to say, "I know and reason." And that was a phrase she used. I never heard my parents say that. That was a phrase that belonged to her generation. I'll give you another example of how a word can have an exact opposite meaning. Take the word bad. When I was growing up, bad meant bad. Bad meant terrible. Bad meant awful. Bad meant not good. Tonight, bad means good. If you want to compliment something, "Man, that looks bad." Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's got a brand new car. "Oh, it looks bad." Mm-hmm. That means it looks good. Well, that's just how a living language can have words that mean just the opposite. Anyway, you can tell from the context here that "let" means hinder. Well, we all know what's going to happen next on God's prophetic calendar, and that's the outcalling of the saved, the rapture, the catching away. And what about those that are not saved? Well, they're going to be left behind. They're going to be left behind. What if they rejected the gospel before the rapture? Well, it appears from these verses that they'll have no chance to be saved. There's some very strong language here. Let me just read the Bible again. Verse number 8 is when the devil incarnate, the man of sin, is destroyed, that wicked. Verse 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So we see from this passage, as well as many others, that the tribulation period is going to be characterized by miracles. It talks here about signs and lying wonders, satanic miracles. Masses will be duped and deceived. Never forget that the devil can do miracles. Never forget that he has power. Not all power. Didn't Pharaoh's magicians imitate many of the same miracles of Moses? Not all of them. Janus and Jambres couldn't do them all, but they could do a lot of them. There was no natural explanation. Some people think as long as it's a miracle, it must be from God. Not so. Some people say, "Well, so-and-so God healed. It must have been God that did it." Well, if the devil put it on him, the devil could take it off. There has to be one or two that get healed from time to time. Lourdes or Medjugorje. These different places. So, beware, because not every miracle is from God. What's the message? Who's getting the glory? That's something you need to ask. Note again in these verses I read, it says that they receive not the love of the truth. The love of the truth. Not just the truth, but the love of the truth. Because when you get saved and you start reading the Bible, you will begin to love the truth. And to love the truth is to hate error. And when you realize what God has saved you from, and when you realize there's a great big world of religion out there that is nothing more than a counterfeit, like a rope around people's necks, then God's Word will become precious to you, and you will cherish it, and you will not just have the truth and know the truth and believe the truth, you will love the truth. That's what the Bible says. The psalmist David said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day." And he didn't have half the Bible we have. I wonder what he would have done if he had the whole Bible. He'd been turning cartwheels all over the place. He loved God's Word. And the Bible here says they'll be damned because they rejected the gospel and they did not receive the love of the truth. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that people won't be saved during the tribulation. That would be a tremendous error. I'm saying that those who rejected it before the rapture will not have a chance after the rapture. But as far as those who never heard it, did we not read at the beginning, Revelation 7, where John saw a great multitude? A great multitude, it says. And they have been put to death in the tribulation period, and there they are in heaven.
wearing white robes, and they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're saved by the grace of God. Revelation 6, John said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for their testimony. There's going to be, no doubt, millions of people saved in the tribulation. Especially Jews. Revelation 9, the 144,000 preaching. The two witnesses in Jerusalem, what a ministry they'll have. In Revelation 19, when they see Jesus, oh, there's going to be lots of people saved in the tribulation period. But those who never heard before. And Jesus in the Olivet Discourse said that the gospel must be preached to the whole world before the end could come. Matthew 24 and verse 14. And friend, if you don't know it tonight, most people have never heard the gospel. Not just in far away, deep, dark Africa, in the corners of China and in India, but all over the place. I mean, I meet people every week who've never heard the gospel. Of course, it's their own fault. They won't pick up the Bible and read. But many of them have no clue. God is holy and God is just. And I don't know where God's going to draw the line. I just know the Bible says there's going to be a lot of people saved in the tribulation. But you just think about it. If people won't get saved now, when it's relatively easy, do you think they're going to get saved later when they realize that it's going to cost them their head? Because in the tribulation period, it's going to be a criminal offense punishable by death to be a believer. You will be put to death unless you're a part of the Jews that are hid supernaturally in the wilderness for 3.5 years. So, a lot of people are going to be saved, multitudes, but the ones that's never heard. I won't reread 11 and 12, very fearful verses here where God sends them strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. I think it means God's patience runs out. There comes a time when God no longer deals with people and convicts people. And He says, all right, you want to believe a lie? Go ahead and believe a lie. It's sad that people are much quicker to believe a lie than to believe the truth. Hitler said, if you want people to believe a lie, he said, just tell it to them long enough and loud enough. And the bigger the lie, the better. And that's the way, unfortunately, many people are. They would prefer to believe a lie. The Antichrist is going to be a tremendous liar, a consummate liar. The Bible speaks in Daniel of how he is a blasphemer, of how he blasphemes God and the saints in heaven and sits and claims to be God. Is that not quite a boast for someone to say, I am God? Well, that's what he's going to claim. Of course, all Mormons think they're headed that way anyway. But anyway, the Antichrist will be a liar like the devil. When the Antichrist gets here, he's going to be a liar. And he's going to tell the people, you don't need to be saved. You don't need to trust the word of that Christianity, that old book, the Bible. Oh, we've evolved now. He'll ridicule the Bible. He'll ridicule Jesus Christ and Christians. You can count all it just like he's doing on a much smaller scale tonight. Just like religion's always done. Attacking the Bible. Attacking God and God's people. Millions are going to believe every word this man of sin will speak by TV and satellite worldwide. Well, that's just a little foreview of things that are sure to come to pass. It means people better get saved before time runs out. They better get saved before God the Holy Spirit is taken out. That is, believers are taken out through the true church. It means God's patience runs out. The God that destroyed this entire world one time with a flood is going to execute wrath again. All of those judgments are listed in the book of Revelation. You can see them when half the world's population will die. The door is open tonight, but it won't always be open. It will close. And that's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. And now is accepted time. You know, when Noah built that ark all those years and went in that ark, and the Bible says he went in and the door was still open for 7 days. And God shut the door. And God said, come in. God didn't say, go in. God said, come in. God was saying, I'm in the ark. Come in. It was just one door. And you know, they all laughed at that preacher of righteousness. But I guarantee you, when the rains came down and the flood waters were rising, everybody in the world wanted to get in that boat. But it was too late. It was too late. They had every opportunity. But it was too late. If you could go to hell tonight, I think everybody would want to get saved. It's too late. It's too late. Anybody that rejects Jesus is destined for eternal punishment. Nobody can say, God sent me to hell. They'll have to say, I sent myself. My damnation is just. It's my own choice. Time's running out for this old world, and the shadows are lengthening, and it's never been this late. And I hope and trust that as you study your Bible and compare it to the events that are happening on every hand, it's not just that one sign is happening. It's all the signs, simultaneously, religiously, politically, spiritually, morally. Everything is happening before our very eyes. And yet very few discern the signs of the times. It's good to be saved. It's good to know where you're going. It's good to be anticipating the return of Christ. Not dreading it, but looking forward to the return of Christ at any moment to take us home and be with Him forever. The Bible says, flee the wrath to come. I think we need to give out the book of Revelation more. Maybe people get scared of going to hell. It'd be a lot better to be scared about going to hell and get saved than not to be scared and end up in hell, wouldn't it? It really would. If a person realized that they're under God's wrath and they could drop in hell in just in a second, then it should scare them. They should be scared. There's nothing wrong with people being scared. That's a healthy thing. A fear of God, a realization of their lostness and their guilt. You have to humble yourself and repent before you ever get saved. And bow your knee. Everybody's going to bow the knee sooner or later. I don't think you appreciate the good news till you know the bad news. So we need to warn people to flee from the wrath to come. Will people be saved after the rapture? It's a very interesting study. I encourage you to look into it further. I encourage you to be God's voice to somebody this week to people everywhere who just don't care. I remember a man said to me in the Cragen many years ago, I could almost take you to his house. He said, not only are we not saved around here, not only are we all Roman Catholics around here, he said, we don't care. That's what he said. That's what he said. I hope he's changed his mind. The devil knows how to lull people to sleep. You know that? He knows how to keep them so occupied, so materialistic, so confident that the priest will take care of everything that they just don't think about it. Well, that's sad. I hope we'll be able to wake somebody up. Amen. And then they'll be grateful forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, please. God bless you. Thank you for the day, dear Lord. Thank you for the Bible. How sobering are these words. Dear Lord, we realize that as ever prophecy of the first coming was fulfilled in a literal fashion, so ever prophecy of the second coming will be fulfilled likewise in a literal fashion. Dear Lord, help us to have that sense of urgency that we need. Guide our steps. Cleanse us with the blood. Make us a voice, a blessing, a light, and a testimony in this world. Dear God, help us not in any way, shape, or form to be a part of the falling away. The apostasy, Lord, the departure from truth. On the other hand, Lord, let us love the truth. Let us buy it and sell it not. May we cherish it, proclaim it, obey it. Meet every need and answer prayers for Jesus' sake and Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Girls, would you come? We'll close with a song. Years ago, after World War II, several preachers were talking. The one was from England.
I think I told you this story. He said to Vernon McGee, he said, "We're living in the tribulation period." He said, "If you had been in London when the Germans were bombing London, you'd know we're living in the tribulation period right now." But Vernon McGee said, "No, you're wrong. Number one, the rapture hadn't taken place." He said, "Number two, the war ended." And he said, "England's okay." And he said, "Not only that, here we both are, sitting in a hotel eating steak, and you're telling me we're in the tribulation?" He said, "This is too nice to be the tribulation." Mm-hmm. So, folks, we're not in the tribulation period. And we're not in the millennium either. And we're not in the new heaven or the new earth either. We're in the days preceding the coming of Jesus Christ, where Jesus said, "And when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads," He said, "because your redemption draweth nigh." Luke 21:28. I think that's the days we're living in. And it's an exciting day to be a Christian. Amen. All right. Take a song book, please. Girls, while we sing. 56. "We All Get to Heaven" is 56. Would you stand? We'll sing first and last. Stay for by the supper if you can. Have a good week. Remember the service Tuesday. I think Lord willing, I'll start a new series on from the book of Proverbs. The Lord willing, Tuesday night. Okay. 56, first and last.